The Book of Ration ends with what could be seen as a surprise. Last third of the book, we were under the impression that, quote-unquote, Yosef wins. Well, Yosef wins at least in Bereshit. In Bereshit, he's powerful. In Bereshit, he's important. But Bereshit's going to come to an end, and very soon we're going to start the Book of Shemot, and we're going to find out that even in Egypt, they've forgotten about Yosef. Meanwhile, towards the end of the book, someone else, as we saw last week, comes to the fore, and that's Yehuda. And as we move through the Book of Shemot and Vayikra, we're not going to necessarily notice Yehuda all that much. I think part of what we're really going to understand, and that's what Yaakov sees on his deathbed, is he's not looking at the present tense, and he's not looking at the near future. He's looking far into the future. How far, that we can debate. Is he really speaking, as some of the commentaries and Midrashim think, about the Messianic age? Is that what he wanted to speak about? Is that what he's referring to? Or is it when the time the Jews come into the land? But make no mistake about it. Yaakov sees things. He sees things about these tribes. One of the things we learn right away when he blesses Reuven is he laments about what Reuven has lost. As the firstborn throughout the book of Bereshit, what he should have had was a double portion. What he should have had was the right to serve in the Beit HaMikdash as the Kohen. What he should have had was kingship. And Reuven loses all three. And what happens with these three gifts is they get divided. One, the double portion, does stay with Yosef, which means in that sense Yosef wins. Tribes become tribes, and Yaakov's blessing itself, in this week's portion, Ephraim and Manasseh become like Reuven and Shimon. They become tribes. Yosef gets the double portion. When it comes to who's going to be the Kohen, that's not at all clear in the book of Bereshit. We're going to find much later on that the tribe of Levi is going to become the tribe of the Kohanim and the Levim. As far as kingship, as we said, that's also going to take time. We're not going to realize or see it until we get all the way into the future and we see the Davidic dynasty begin with David, David HaMelech, his son Shlomo, and moving onwards all the way to the king, to Melech HaMashiach. Presumably Yaakov saw all of this on his deathbed. He saw the way that the book turns out, but not just this book and not just the five books. He sees and he wants to communicate this. He wants to articulate this. But God stops him. Instead, he shares little pieces of information. Some of the pieces he shares seems to be based upon the past, what has happened, especially when he attacks Yehuda, and Shimon and Levi for that matter. Some of the tribes, when he speaks about them, he speaks about the future, because he sees the future. When Yaakov gives what's so often called blessings in this week's portion, and it's hard if you go tribe by tribe to say, are these really blessings? But he creates spiritual realities, which means there's a flow over here between the divine, between God, and it comes out of Yaakov's mouth. And Yaakov perhaps wants to say more, wants to share more. And the rabbis say he's frustrated and he can't say more than he says. But the things that he does say is quite powerful. He sees, as we said, that Yosef gets this double portion. He sees, as we said, that Yehuda is going to be king. Which means at the end of the day, when we ask, so who won? Did Yosef win or did Yehuda win? So it depends what exactly was the battle. Is the battle to become firstborn? So Yosef retains the right as firstborn, even though Reuven will consistently be called the firstborn of Israel, but he loses all the rights as the firstborn, other than in name. Yosef, the son of Rachel, will now be the firstborn with the double portion. But who's going to be leader? That's going to be Yehuda. And to a great extent, this has been the story of all of Bereshit. All of Bereshit is about the firstborn losing. It's about the firstborn who often is the most powerful, or the one who feels that they have the most rights. They don't always win in the book of Bereshit. In fact, one can argue quite the opposite. They constantly lose. Bereshit teaches us that rewards will follow when we deserve them. If we don't deserve the rewards, they're not going to follow. And therefore, throughout the entire book, we find the firstborn being placed aside, and someone else comes and takes that place. Now the Jewish people, as a people, and we're never going to be the most powerful, and never going to be the biggest, and we're never going to be the strongest, but we're going to earn our right in history because of the things that we do. And that's ultimately the message that we walk away from the book of Bereshit. We move away from one couple, Avraham and Sarah, to a second couple, Yitzchak and Rivka. And then it gets complicated, Yaakov and all of his family. And we become a nation. But this is going to become a nation which is not going to be powerful, not going to be strong, not going to be the wealthiest. But somehow in history, we're going to make, arguably, the greatest impact. And as history is still going to be played out as we get towards the final stages of history, the work that we still need to do is part of what Yaakov saw. We're going to impact the world, not because we're the firstborn, but because we have a message that we need to share. Once this becomes solidified, Book of Bereshit can end, and then we can start the next episode. Chazak, chazak, benitchazek.